Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Studio One was a one-hour dramatic anthology show by CBS with Canadian radio genius Fletcher Markle at the creative helm. In this episode, American Theatre Hall of Fame actress Geraldine Fitzgerald stars as a wealthy young woman who falls in love with a Jewish lawyer in spite of her family's reaction. Enjoy Studio One, Earth and High Heaven, first broadcast December 1st, 1947 on CBS.
Tonight, Miss Geraldine Fitzgerald stars in Earth and High Heaven from Studio One at CBS.
I must tell you again, Eric, I don't approve of your seeing this man.
I'm sorry, Charles, because I intend to go on seeing him. Don't you realize that all you have against him is the fact that he's a Jew?
With a moment from Earth and High Heaven by Gwendolyn Graham, we invite you to Studio One. A full hour of dramatic entertainment from radio's own playhouse. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Tonight we're privileged to bring you an unusual radio premiere, a version for listening of one of the most significant and controversial novels of recent years. In 1944, Gwethlyn Graham's Earth and High Heaven appeared first as a Collier's magazine serial. Then, published as a Literary Guild selection, it swiftly became a bestseller and is soon to be produced as a motion picture by Samuel Goldwyn. Though born a Canadian, Gwethlyn Graham is a citizen of the world. And though most of her story takes place in Montreal, Canada, it could just as comfortably or uncomfortably have happened in New York or San Francisco or Centerville. Earth and High Heaven is not only a magnificent love story, but also a very wise portrait of a major problem in our time: intolerance of race. And tonight, starring as Erica Drake in Vincent McConnor's dramatization for Studio One, we're grateful for the presence of one of Hollywood's most individual and accomplished actresses, Miss Geraldine Fitzgerald. And with Miss Fitzgerald, you'll be hearing a very wonderful cast. Grant Richards as Mark Reiser, Raymond Edward Johnson as Charles, Anne Seymour as Margaret, Mercedes McCambridge as Miriam, and Everett Sloan as David. Herewith, the story of a man and woman who dared earth and high heaven to make their dream of love come true.
Social Department, Montreal Post, Mr. Canning speaking. Oh, just a moment, please. I'll find out. Miss Drake.
Yes, Bubbles.
Mrs. Wallace P. Anderson wants somebody to cover a meeting of the Canadian Women's Army Corps tomorrow night.
Tell her we'll cover it.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Anderson. We'll have somebody there to cover your meeting.
Sylvia, what's on the list for this afternoon?
Let me look at my pad.
There. I've finished my sugarless recipes column. For someone who can't cook, it really sounds fairly convincing. Bubbles, will you take this copy downstairs, please?
For the love of Mike, will you stop calling me Bubbles?
Bubbles is a perfect name for an office boy. Full of energy.
Yeah, but it hasn't any dignity.
Well, I can't possibly call you by your own name. Weathersby Canning is entirely too much dignity.
Erica, there's quite a list of affairs to be covered this afternoon. One art exhibit, three T's, one C.
Bubbles can cover the art exhibit.
I hate art.
You don't have to look at the picture. Just find out who's there.
That's not all. There are three T's this afternoon.
Three of them?
And one of them's being given by Mrs. Charles Drake.
Mother's party?
Mm.
This afternoon? That I'd better cover myself. Here's my hat.
You're wearing it, darling.
Oh, dear, so I am. Bubbles, get that copy downstairs.
If I were society editor, I wouldn't call my assistant Bubbles.
You aren't my assistant. Sylvia's my assistant. By the way, Sylvia, his mother called. Tell her I've gone to pick up Charles and we're on our way home. See you in the morning.
My papers.
Stop stalling, Charles. Get your hat, and let's be on our way. Mother will be furious.
You know quite well I always go upstairs to my den and sleep through your mother's parties.
You're completely self-indulgent, Charles. Quite impossible, really.
A bothered party.
Rockaby with you.
But we had luncheon together today, and we're both completely up to date on every thought in our respective heads.
You're the only one of my three children I ever enjoyed talking to.
Now, Charles, you know you were a mean old tyrant with Tony and Miriam.
Hmm?
You never would listen to them.
They haven't got your brains.
Get your hat, Charles Drake. Stop flattering me.
Confidentially, Eric, you don't give a hoot, really, for that silly newspaper job of yours.
I adore it. Here's your hat, darling.
I don't know why I allow you to bully me.
Fancy anybody trying to bully you.
I'm going upstairs to relax for a bit, Erica.
Now, Charles, you must make an appearance. Mother will be upset.
Don't you worry about me.
I'm not. You'll take care of you. Mother, I'm worrying about.
This tea party is your mother's idea, not mine. You'll be the only one drinking tea. You can represent me, Alec. Meanwhile, I'll get a nap before dinner.
Well, then at least enjoy your nap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, listen to that. Sounds like a jungle full of animals. People I never met before, never want to meet again. I don't know where your mother finds them.
Some of them work with her at the Red Cross.
Well, you can face them if you want. I'm going upstairs.
There you are, Erica.
Hello, Mother.
I'm so glad you were able to get away in time for the party, darling.
Yes, but I have to go back to the office after dinner.
Well, right now you can be useful.
Where shall I start?
Start by doing something about that young man over there by the window.
Who is he?
I don't know. Looks like the one Rene phoned about. His name sounded foreign, so I suppose he's a refugee.
I don't think Rene knows any refugees.
Well, do something about him.
All right. Hello.
How do you do?
I'm Erica, one of the invisible Drakes who are giving this party.
My name's Mark Reiser.
Of course. You're Rene's friend. He's often talked about you.
Rene brought me here this afternoon, but he seems to have disappeared.
And without bothering to introduce you to anyone? You know, once he deserted me in the middle of an enormous party, all French Canadians. I didn't even know my hostess. Oh, wouldn't you like something to drink?
Not if you have to go and get it. All I want is not to be left alone.
Very well. I shan't leave you. You're a lawyer, aren't you?
Yes, I'm with Marish and Aronson, but I'm not doing much law at the moment. Just sort of hanging around at divisional headquarters, waiting to be sent overseas.
Shall we sit here in this window seat?
Fine. Yeah. You know, this is a very handsome room.
I'm glad you like it.
It must be wonderful living up here above the city. Just look at that view.
Mm. And wait another hour until the lights go on. All those rooftops turn to gold. I've lived in Montreal all my life, but it still takes my breath away.
Erica!
Hello there.
Darling, we've been looking everywhere for you.
Oh, excuse me a moment, Mr. Reiser.
You said you wouldn't.
Oh, but I'll be right back. And you see, I have come back, and with two Manhattans.
I'm glad I waited.
One for you.
Thanks.
And one for me. Now, what were we talking about?
I'm afraid I don't remember.
I do. You were admiring the view from this window.
Ah, so I was.
You spoke as though you hadn't always lived in Montreal.
I haven't. I'm from Manchester.
In northern Ontario?
Uh-huh.
How did you ever get way up there?
I was born there.
Oh, your parents too?
They were from Austria.
Whatever took them to Manchester?
Well, they didn't want to live in a city.
Why not?
My father's people had always been mixed up with lumber in some form or other. There was a mill for sale in Manchester. That's how I came to be born there. I'd far rather spend the rest of my life there, though, than here in Montreal.
Would you really? Why?
In a small town, you have a chance to do something. Like my brother. You can be effective. And I suppose that's the only criterion of success, which isn't somehow associated with making a lot of money. Being effective.
Aren't you interested in making money?
Not particularly. Don't think I'd know what to do with it. I'd like to have enough money to buy a farm someday. That's about the only thing I really want.
Why a farm?
I just happen to like country life. You aren't always being pushed around by people. And you know, you ask an awful lot of questions.
It's a terrible habit of mine. Maybe it's because I work for a newspaper.
Oh, I didn't know you had a job.
Then you obviously don't read the woman's page of the Montreal Post.
Never knew it had one.
Well, I'm the woman's editor. Oh, you know. Fashion, social stuff, and all that sort of thing.
Good for you.
Oh, don't get the idea that I'm a career woman. I'm not. My family still doesn't quite approve of a Drake working on a newspaper. Charles pretends I'm just playing at being a reporter. He won't acknowledge the fact that I'm now an editor.
You always call your father Charles?
Yes. He calls me Eric.
I like Erica better.
We're very close, Charles and I. Even lunch together downtown once or twice a week, though we didn't see enough of each other at breakfast and dinner. Where do you live?
In a roomy house on Sherbrooke Street.
Is it nice, your room?
No, it's awful. I've been looking for a small furnished apartment. You don't know where I might find one, do you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
Oh?
There's a new apartment building on Côte des Neiges. I haven't noticed whether it's open yet or not. I think they call it the Terrace.
I've already been there.
Oh, don't tell me they're all rented.
No, they still have some vacancies.
Well?
They don't take Jews. You knew I was Jewish, didn't you?
Frankly, I never thought one way or the other.
You were so quiet for a moment. I wondered.
You wondered wrong.
Did I?
Well, I suppose that I... You know, I never before realized that...
Yes?
You're not being the least bit helpful. Not the least bit.
I'm sorry.
With those four simple words, they don't take Jews. You know very well what they did to me.
Hello there.
Oh, hello, Rene.
Oh, I see that you two have found each other, hmm?
Rene, why do you desert the people you bring to parties?
Do I? Well, I got involved with some people from Toronto, and... Oh, by the way, darling, they're asking for your father. Where is he?
Upstairs in his study. Next time Mother gives a party, I'm going to hang a sign in the hall saying, Mr. Charles Drake welcomes you and hopes you'll have a fine time, but he wishes to be left strictly alone.
Erica!
Hello, there's Mother waving to me. You two stay here. I'll be back.
Erica.
Yes, Mother.
Everyone's asking for Charles. Don't you think you might persuade him to come down? At least for long enough to say goodbye to some of these people.
I'll try. Meanwhile, do talk to Mark Reiser if you get a chance.
I don't know half these people. Which one's Mark Reiser?
Rene's friend. They're sitting on the window seat.
Oh, yes.
He's awfully nice. I think you'll like him.
Come in.
Charles.
Oh, it's you, Eric. I was afraid it might be someone from the party wandering through the house.
Now, Charles, Mother thinks you should come downstairs.
Does she?
Did you get a nap?
I couldn't relax. All that blasted noise.
Is anything wrong?
Eric, you can't go on writing little pieces for a newspaper all your life. You'll never get it anywhere that way.
My, you make it sound attractive.
Well, what you need is a job where you can work your way up to the top.
Oh? And where would that be?
I don't know why I didn't see this long ago.
See what?
I start out with a business, a son and daughter.
Son and two daughters?
Miriam doesn't count. She's the kind of girl who gets married.
Ouch.
Well, she's already been married once, and she's only 24. How old are you?
Oh, you know very well I'm 28.
Besides, Miriam hasn't half your brain. Where was I?
Starting a business with a son and a daughter.
The point is that Tony was in the firm for 5 years, but he didn't really like it. When he comes back from the war, I have a feeling he'll never return to the Drake Importing Company.
Wait a minute. Are you offering me Tony's job?
Not Tony's job, just a job. From then on, it's up to you.
I wouldn't be very good at it, Charles.
Why not?
There's something too final about going into a family business. I'd have the feeling that I was going to join my ancestors, end up as a chairman of the board instead of with a husband and children.
Oh? Then you've made up your mind about Rene?
What about Rene?
He's in love with you.
Rennie's nothing of the sort.
I've never been wrong yet about any of the young men who've been in love with you. I recognize the signs at first glance. You know I do.
And immediately imply it's your money, not my charms, that fetches them.
Derek.
You know, Charles, one day a deluded idiot may wish to marry me for my own sweet self. Then what will you do?
Look here, Eric, I don't... Hadn't we better go downstairs?
Tactfully changing the subject, we certainly had. By the way, he's downstairs.
Oh.
Rennie. He brought a friend with him, a young lawyer named Reiser.
Sounds like a Jew.
And a most charming person. I'm sure you like him.
I seldom find Jewish lawyers charming. What firm's he with?
Something or other and Aronson.
Then he definitely is a Jew. Why did Rene bring him here?
I told you. He's a thoroughly nice person and Rene wanted him to meet us. Look, Charles, I've met Mark Reiser and talked to him. And I like him.
Do you? Well, come along. I must go downstairs. I must.
Mm-hmm.
that the lawyer fellow with Rene at the foot of the stairs?
Yes. Seems they're leaving.
Charles, everybody's been asking for you.
Yes,
Rene, just leaving.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gray.
Oh, hello, Rene.
Father, I'd like to introduce Mr.
Excuse me. There's Scotty. Must see him before he gets away.
But Charles. Oh.
Goodbye, Miss Drake.
Goodbye, Mr. Ryder. I do hope we meet again. Charles, I want to talk to you.
What made you run off during the party? Your mother and I were worried when you didn't come back for dinner.
Why did you do it, Charles? Why did you insult Rene's friend, refuse to be introduced?
I don't think I'm called upon to give explanations.
So far as Mark Rice is concerned, I'm sure nothing you could say would make the slightest difference. Every time he remembers what happened to him in our house, it'll happen to him all over again.
I dare say it's happened to him before.
Of course it has. Let's face it. Lots of people don't really disagree fundamentally with the Nazis about the Jews. They just feel that they're going a bit too far. Isn't that how you feel, Charles?
Ellie.
There wasn't anyone at the party more intelligent or more civilized than this man you treated so shamefully.
The kind of person he is has nothing to do with it.
Oh. What matters is the label.
My dear, I didn't invent the label.
Just because somebody else invented it, you don't have to use it.
Eric, among the people we know, our friends, a Jewish lawyer sticks out like the well-known sore thumb. From a social point of view, he's unmanageable, makes everyone feel ill at ease. And if he's as nice a chap as you seem to think, this Ricer, you probably feel pretty awkward himself.
We aren't arguing about how he felt, but how you made him feel.
When you've known as many Jews as I have, you realize that when they mix with Gentiles after business hours, it's because they're out to do themselves a bit of good socially. Contacts count, particularly with people like us.
Speak for yourself, Charles.
All right. People like me. Might I add, I don't like your tone.
And I don't like your point of view. That makes us even.
You'll find my point of view is pretty general. I've no objection to Jews. Some of those I meet downtown are quite decent fellows. That doesn't mean I want them in my home. I hope Rene won't bring this fellow here again.
Charles, if you continue this sort of thing, you're likely to end up in the same relationship with me as you've managed to achieve with Tony and Miriam.
That's entirely up to you, Ellie.
There's something more to this than the fact that Mark Ryder is a Jew.
What are you talking about now?
Oh, really? It's ridiculous. You treated him this way only because I said I liked him.
You mind telling me what you're laughing at?
I'm afraid I'm laughing at you, Charles. You insulted this man because I liked him. It isn't so funny after all. I just remembered him. His face when you wouldn't meet him.
It's perfectly obvious to me that Bryce had made quite an impression on you.
And that would be too bad, wouldn't it?
No use letting an impossible situation develop, only to have to clear it up later.
No matter how badly you hurt Mark Reiser, you'll never...
I'm not interested in Mr. Reiser.
All of a sudden, Charles, you're a complete stranger. A stranger whom I think I don't want to know.
Spell Muslin de Soie.
How do you expect to get into the Air Force when you can't even spell? Answer the phone book.
In the Air Force, you are not required to spell words like Muslin de Soie. Social Department, Montreal Post, Mr. Canning speaking. Miss Drake, just a minute, please. It's for you, Miss Drake.
Who is it?
Sounds like that Mr. de Savigny.
Oh, thanks, Bubble. Hello? Rene? Lunch? I'd love to. Where? Sarko's, the downstairs bar. All right. The only thing... I have to be at Windsor Station to meet the Quebec train. Miriam's arriving. Mother and Dad are up in the country and I have to meet her. Right, half an hour.
Train leaving on track 5-4 Toronto, Winnipeg, Calgary...
Miss Drake. Miss Drake. Hello.
Mr. Ryder, what are you doing here?
Meeting the train from Quebec.
So am I. Is it late? I never can understand these bulletin boards.
Well, matter of fact, you're looking at the wrong one. That's departure.
So I am.
Train's an hour late. You expecting someone?
Yes. My sister, Miriam. I haven't seen her in 3 years. She's been living in England.
Have you got anything to do for the next hour?
No. Have you?
Not a thing. Let's go over to Dominion Square and sit in the sun.
Wonderful.
I meant to call you.
Have you?
I've been up to my eyes in work for the past 2 days.
Oh?
That excuse sounded even more feeble than I expected.
You don't have to make excuses.
I really did want to call you. Shall we sit on this bench?
Fine. Who are you meeting from Quebec?
My former boss, Mr. Aronson.
You said something the other afternoon about having a brother.
Oh, yes. David's a bush doctor up in the mining country. Quite a guy.
And you said something about being effective, like your brother. What did you mean by that?
Well, Dave doctors anybody who gets sick. People are very poor. Dave goes to them no matter where they are, by horseback or snowshoe. And he really leads a dog's life. Out all hours in every kind of weather, gets paid in potatoes or half a cord of wood, he gets paid at all. But he's the happiest man I know.
I'd like to know your brother.
He comes down here for medical meetings once or twice a year. For him, that's a holiday. You'd like each other.
I'm sure I'd like him.
Mind if I ask you something?
What is it?
Are you in love with Renee?
No. Why?
I had to know. I think he's in love with you.
I doubt it very much. Mr. Reiser, about my father. I'd like to explain.
Don't try to.
He's not as provincial as you may think. He has several Jewish friends downtown and knows many refugees and...
Oh, I'm sure of it. If I were 65 and recently arrived from Europe, he'd have been perfectly charming.
You know entirely too much.
Anyhow, I don't think I could ever fit into your particular social setup. I'd always be an outsider, as I was at the party.
You weren't an outsider to me.
Oh, I should have let you standing there in front of that notice board, trying to find out when the train arrives from Quebec, under departures. If I had any sense, I wouldn't have spoken to you at all this afternoon.
Well, better luck next time. I suppose you really should be getting back.
All right. Those violets you're wearing are very beautiful. Did Renee give them to you?
Yes.
I wish I'd give them for you.
I hate violets.
What kind of flowers do you like?
Carnations. Red carnations.
Do you? I remember that.
Train from Quebec City now arriving, track 7.
Yeah, which is where the train's just getting in. Oh, I wonder, couldn't we have dinner together some night?
If you wish.
How about Wednesday?
All right.
I'll call for you about 7. Ah, there's Miss Aronson. Do you see your sister anywhere?
Oh, no. Miriam will be the last one off.
See you Wednesday.
Yes. Goodbye.
Erica!
Miriam!
Porter, bring those bags along. Hello, darling. How wonderful you look. Where are Mother and Dad?
In the mountains for the weekend. I only got your wire this morning. Why couldn't you phone us from Halifax?
Major Gardner was showing me too good a time.
Oh, well, let's find a cab and get home.
And you kept my room unchanged.
Oh, yes. Charles said you'd come back. Well, shall we unpack and get it over?
Let's just collapse here on the bed and talk.
Miriam, why did you come home?
Because someone else did.
Major Gardner?
Major John Gardner.
You're in love with him?
I don't know yet. After all, I've only been divorced a year. This time, I don't want to be rushed.
Did you see Tony in London?
2 weeks ago. Our dear brother's been promoted again. He's a flight lieutenant or something. By the way, my major flew up from Quebec this morning. He's taking me to dinner tonight.
Is he in love with you?
I suppose so. I don't really care. He's fun to be with. At the moment, that's enough. You aren't shocked, are you?
What about? What kind of a person do you think I am?
You? You're the best of the three of us. The one everybody depends on. Tony and I have always done exactly what we wanted. But you've spent your life doing what other people wanted. And you're a sucker.
What do you mean, I'm a sucker?
You ought to be married. However, I don't suppose there'll ever be anyone Charles will let you marry.
Oh, really, Mary?
No, you're too important to him. I've always thought he could get along better without Mother than he could without you.
Charles doesn't need me at all.
You're his only bridge between the past and the future. You translate modern ideas into terms he can understand. He's going to hang on to you just as long as he possibly can. No matter whom you pick, Charles will try to stop you from marrying him.
This is 1942, not 1867. And to prove it, I've already picked someone.
I don't believe it. Have you really, darling?
Who? He came to a cocktail party here. Charles refused to meet him. He hasn't the necessary qualification.
Why not?
He's a Jew.
Oh? What's he like?
He's about 6 feet tall, with brown hair, nice shoulders, and that sort of golden skin that... Well, he's very attractive.
And how many times have you met this man?
Only twice.
Well, I must say you've noticed an awful lot about him. Well, you can count on me, whatever happens. Ah, that will be my major.
I'll get it here before one of the servants answers downstairs.
Tell him to pick me up in an hour.
Hello?
This is Mark Reiter.
Oh. Hello.
What's he saying?
Remember? I'm the guy you managed to get rid of only an hour ago.
Yes.
Tell him I want to go dancing someplace.
I've been wondering. Why did I ask you out to dinner next Wednesday when that's almost 5 days off? I know this is awfully short notice, but could you have dinner with me tonight?
I'd love to. You'd love to what?
All right if I pick you up around 7:30?
Yes, that would be fine.
See you later.
Yes.
Well, what did John say?
It wasn't your major. It was Mark Reiser. This ought to show you who's a sucker. I'm having dinner with him, and I don't care what Charles says about it.
Scrambled eggs, Erica. Coffee?
Another cup of coffee, please, Mother. Oh, by the way, I won't be home for dinner.
Oh? Dining with Rene?
No, with Mark Reiser.
You're seeing that man again?
I've already seen him again. Several times.
You could hardly wait for your mother and me to leave town, could you?
After 28 years, I'm not likely to start doing things behind your back, Charles.
Erica, I can't imagine you getting involved with a man you hardly know, and who obviously isn't your kind of person at all.
But, Mother, I'm already involved with him.
Going out this evening, Eric?
Yes, Charles. Mark Reiser's taking me to a concert.
You're leaving your sister?
Miriam's already gone off with her major.
I must tell you again, Eric, I don't approve of your seeing this man.
I'm sorry, Charles, because I intend to go on seeing him. Don't you realize that all you have against him is the fact that he's a Jew?
Is that enough?
Certainly is not enough.
I had lunch with Richardson today. He's with the trade board. Tells me that the most persistent violators of the price ceiling are the Jews. One clothing firm here in Montreal has made a fortune.
Which clothing firm?
I didn't ask for names.
Well, you should. This is just another of these stories people repeat. Probably not a word of truth in it.
I resent that.
Do you, Charles? Then why don't you get your Mr. Richardson to name names?
I'll do exactly that. First thing in the morning.
Good night, Charles.
Hello, Richardson.
That you, Charles? Free for lunch today?
No, matter of fact, I called to ask you a question.
Right.
You mentioned something yesterday about some Jewish clothing firm making tremendous profits.
Oh, yes, I remember.
What was the name of the firm? Do you know?
Oh, I've not the slightest idea. Michael Brent told me about it. Why don't you call him?
Thanks. I will.
Come in, Mr. Drake.
Well, thank you, Mr. Podmore. You don't know me.
I most certainly do, at least by reputation.
I've come to you to try to run down a story I've heard.
What's that?
About this Jewish clothing firm which is making such profits in spite of price ceilings.
Oh, yes.
I've a very special reason for wanting to know the name of this firm. Michael Brent just told me that you know who they are.
Well,
You'd be doing me a great favor if you told me.
Actually, I don't know of any such firm by name.
But Brent said that you told him...
You know, Mr. Drake, stories about Jews, you hear them everywhere.
Then you don't actually know of any such firm?
Not by name, no. Oh, I'm very sorry.
Yes. So am I.
Couldn't we play some bridge tonight, the four of us? Like old times.
Sorry, Mother. I'm going to some sort of military affair with John.
And I'm driving up in the hills with Mark Reiser.
So Reiser's still pursuing you?
I'd hardly call it that, Charles.
He's just as pushing and lacking in taste as the rest of his tribe.
Really, Charles. Tonight, you're dealing in generalities. Yesterday, it was a story you couldn't prove about some mythical clothing firm.
By the way, I ran that story down. Howard Podmore told me the whole thing.
And the name of the firm?
One of the largest in Montreal. Davidson and Kahn.
And you brand an entire group of people because of one firm? Did you inquire as to which non-Jewish companies are doing the same thing?
What does that have to do with it?
Nothing, Charles. Not a thing.
Really, Father? Give Erica a break.
Charles, Mark Reiser might turn out to be a fine person if we gave him a chance.
It isn't a question of giving him a chance, Margaret. It's a question of being honest with him. It's no use pretending he's on the same basis as Erica's other friends.
Excuse me, please.
Where are you going, Eric?
That's Mark calling for me.
Mr. Reiser.
Don't worry. He won't come in. Good night, everybody. Hello.
Hop in. What kept you?
We were just finishing dinner. What's this box on the seat?
For you. Open it.
I think I know.
That's the trouble with clever women. You never can surprise them.
Oh, Mark, they're beautiful. And you remembered. Red carnation.
Yes, darling. Let me introduce you to my favorite view of Montreal.
It's even nicer than the one from our place.
We don't have to endure a cocktail party to enjoy it.
No. Oh, it's such a beautiful evening. Soft and sweet. Even the birds are awake.
That's a whippoorwill. He's a little flat on the second note.
He may have a slight cold. Or he may be sorry for our sake that he's not a nightingale.
Why a nightingale?
It was the nightingale, and not the lark, that pierced the fearful hollow of thine ear.
Oh, of course.
Nightly she sings on yon pomegranate tree. Believe me, love, it was the nightingale.
It was the lark, the herald of the morn. No nightingale.
It was the whippoorwill.
Did I ever tell you what a lovely voice you have?
You may tell me now, if you like.
Not tonight. This is one of those moments when everything seems sort of suspended. Even our flat whippoorwill seems to have floated away.
What were you like when you were a little boy? I want to know all about Mark Reiser. From the very first thing you remember.
Some other time. If you don't mind.
I don't mind at all. Oh, Mark.
Erica.
Is that you, Erica?
Aren't you asleep?
Only just got in myself.
Did Charles say anything more after I went out?
Yes, he kept at it until I left. Well, it's a good thing he can't see you now. There's a certain light in your eyes.
I know.
Erica, if I were you, do you know what I'd do? I'd get out.
Leave? Oh, no.
Not for your sake, but for Mark's. I haven't even met the guy, but I'm worried about how much of this he can take. Every time he brings you home and leaves you on the doorstep, it must get him down still further. You know, Charles is counting on the probability that Mark will give up, that he'll just quit and go away.
How did you know that?
So I'm not the only one.
I didn't mean about Charles. I meant about Mark giving up. That's what scares me.
Charles has made inquiries about Mark downtown.
He'll hear nothing but the best.
What good does it do Charles to hear Mark described as quite exceptional for a Jewish lawyer? And you don't imagine that any of them leaves out the word Jew, do you? Clear out of here, Erica. Get as far away from Charles as you can.
Charles can't hurt us if we don't let him. If Mark and I can hold out, Charles will come around sooner or later.
He never will, Erica. Never. Go away while you still have Mark.
Thanks for the advice, darling, but I can't leave. This is the only way we'll ever win. I've got to stay here and fight.
From Studio One, Radio's own playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you're hearing Miss Geraldine Fitzgerald, starring in Earth and High Heaven, a version for listening by Vincent McConner of the Gwethlyn Graham novel. Our story will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. From Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Miss Geraldine Fitzgerald stars in Fletcher Markle's production of Earth and High Heaven.
Will you take it, Bubbles?
Oh, sure. The social department, Mr. Canning speaking. Woolen what? Oh, just a minute, sir. I'll ask Miss Drake.
What is it?
Some guy wants to know if we couldn't do a story on a new line of Canadian woolen fabrics.
Get his name and address. Tell him I'll drop by and look at them tomorrow afternoon.
Yes, sir. Miss Drake can see them tomorrow afternoon. Can I have the address?
Eric, aren't you going out for lunch? I don't think so.
Yes, sir. I've got it. Thank you. Here's the guy's name and address.
Thank you, Bubble.
How about letting me write this article about making jelly?
I suppose you know all about jelly making.
I've watched my mother. The trick is to get it to set so it doesn't come out all wobbly.
Not really.
All you have to do is mix it with paraffin.
Bubbles, will you answer that phone?
Oh, sure. Social department. Oh, hello, Mark. Yeah, she's here. Hold on. It's, you know who.
Give me that phone.
Sure.
Mark? Hello. Tonight, I'd love it. Miriam, well, she probably has a date with her major. Both of them? Of course they'll come. 8:00, the Sky Tower. We'll be there.
I'm glad you asked me to dance, Mark. I wanted to talk to you.
I knew you did.
You aren't exactly what I expected.
What did you expect?
I don't know, really. But let me tell you, Mark Reiser, I like you a lot. I'm on your side.
We can use you.
It's unforgivable the way our medieval parent is acting. Erica thinks he'll eventually change his mind. But he won't. Not until it's too late. Not until he's worn you both ragged.
That's already affecting Erica. She never eats.
She doesn't sleep either. Charles never leaves her alone. It starts at breakfast and continues whenever he sees her.
I didn't know he still objected so much. Erica hasn't said anything lately.
Why don't you marry Erica?
That's a large question.
Why not?
I'm not certain Erica even begins to realize what it would mean, giving up her family.
Well, let her find out.
She would completely antagonize Charles if she married me.
Father and his prejudices. I really think it's high time we tried that new system.
Which one's that?
Haven't you heard about it? I don't think Charles has. It's called democracy.
Everything's relative.
Well, take my advice. Marry my sister. Get her away from here.
There you are, you two.
Move over, John.
Certainly, my dear.
Erica, does this man of yours do everything as well as he dances?
Practically everything.
Erica, you haven't at your steak.
Fine. I wasn't hungry.
Feel like dancing again?
I'd love to.
Miriam and I will sit this one out.
Miriam Wright. You do dance awfully well.
Hadn't you noticed?
Not especially.
I like Miriam's major.
He likes you, too.
So do I. You know, of course, how handsome you look in that uniform. This is the first time I've seen you wear it.
Don't, darling.
Don't what?
Don't melt in public. It's not done.
Well, you made me do it.
Your sister asked me if I didn't think it might be better for you to leave home. I didn't realize your father is still being so difficult.
Don't look so worried, darling. People will notice.
Erica, I've got something to tell you.
I was afraid you had. Something unpleasant.
I'm on draft.
I think I knew. When will you go?
I'll have to leave for camp in 3 days. I'll get an embarkation leave just before I go overseas. Probably a week or so.
Darling, let's get out of here. Couldn't we drive up in the hills? If we don't, I shall start crying and embarrass both of us.
And what about Miriam and her major?
Oh, I'll explain to them later. Anyway, they won't notice we've gone.
All right. Let's go.
No whippoorwill tonight.
No whippoorwill. Well, you're still crying.
Only a little.
What Miriam told me about your father makes it even harder for me to leave you. Don't let him hurt you, Erica.
I'll be all right. What about your family?
Well, I promised them a long time ago to spend my last leave at home. I really ought to see them. Spend some part of my leave there anyhow.
Well, of course you must.
And I'd like to talk over a few things with my brother David. I hope you understand, Erica.
I do, darling. I do. Only, when will we see each other? Just at the end?
Well, at least we'll have my last night together before I start for Halifax. Dinner, maybe a drive up here.
This is getting to be our private hill, Mark. Oh, Mark, it's such a short time. And we can't even spend it together.
Well, at least we have those next 3 days before I go to camp. Do you suppose Sylvia could take care of things in the office for 3 days?
Why, what do you mean?
I know of a valley with a lake. The Laurentians rising against the sky. There's a little inn where I once spent a very happy week. You could have 3 days there. Away from the world.
Yes.
Will you, Erica?
I'll have to arrange things at the office in the morning.
Then we can leave in the early afternoon?
Oh, yes, my darling. Beautiful, Mr. Podmore.
I'm sure you can do an excellent story in our Canadian textiles.
Yes. Now I must be getting back to the office. By the way, I believe you know my father.
I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Drake just last week.
He told me that you said something about a Jewish firm here in Montreal making a fortune, paying no attention to ceiling prices.
Oh, no. He misunderstood me.
Did you tell him the firm was Davidson and Kahn?
I did nothing of the sort. I told him I knew of no firm by name which was selling above ceiling. That's one of those stories everybody tells, but nobody knows where it comes from. I distinctly told your father there was no truth to it. Good heavens. I hope he isn't quoting me as saying that Davidson and Kahn are...
Thank you, Mr. Podmore. You've done me a great favor.
Miriam, please listen to me. More than anything else in the world, I want to understand what Eric is doing and why. Please, tell me what you think of Mark Reiser.
Mother, he's the same kind of person as Erica. He's the other side of the same middle. They just seem to belong together, that's all. And I think if you didn't know he was Jewish, or if that didn't matter so much, you'd say there couldn't be anyone better for Erica than Mark. No, Mother, no. It wasn't really your fault anyhow, darling.
Of course it's my fault. The only excuse I've got is that I don't know him. I didn't realize how much you meant to us. But what kind of an excuse is that?
Mother, please.
It isn't as though Erica didn't try to tell me. She even asked me to lunch with her and Mark. And all I, her own mother, could think of saying was that I'd been too busy.
Happy, darling?
Absolutely. And completely.
Oh, this weekend has been like music. The whole world's an orchestra. For 2 short days, it's been playing in complete harmony. That's only happened once before in my entire life.
Once for me, too.
When was that?
Tell me about yours first.
Mine? It's 4 years ago. David and I went on a fishing trip. It was one of those autumn days when the world stands still, holding its breath and waiting.
Mine was an evening in Paris. Miriam and I were walking down the Champs-Élysées. Just the street lamps and a thin little moon. And we were so happy we couldn't even talk. Earth and heaven were very close that night.
Aye, look. High heaven and earth, all from the prime foundation. All thoughts to arrive the heart are here, and all are vain. Horror and scorn, and hate and fear and indignation. Oh, why did I awake? When shall I sleep again?
Why did I awake? I wish you could stay here forever. No war, no Charles, no prejudice. When shall I sleep again?
My darling.
When shall I sleep again?
Can I help you unpack?
No, thanks. Did Charles find out where I was?
Mother told him.
Oh. Doesn't matter.
Oh?
Nothing much matters now.
What are you talking about?
I'm not going to win, after all. I'm going to lose. Mark's going overseas, and that's the end.
Why? Is it the end? Has he said something?
It's nothing he's said or done. It's something I can feel. He's going up to see his family before he sails. They'll say everything Charles has been saying. They'll say I'm wrong for Mark. I'm hopelessly outnumbered. I've already lost. Who is it?
May I come in?
Oh, yes, Charles, of course.
Well, Eric, you did come back.
Yes, I came back.
I'm not going to say anything about where you've been. It's done, so let's forget it. But your mother and I are anxious about your health. We want to take you away for a holiday, Eric. 10 days or so, starting next Saturday.
I'm sorry. I can't manage it then.
Why not?
That's just about the time Mark will be sailing.
Surely he'll forgive you if you don't see him off. He, too, must have noticed how pale you're looking.
But this is the only chance Erica will have to see him before he leaves.
Miriam, please. Mind your own business.
Erica's business is my business.
Miriam, don't.
I'm sorry.
This is the only chance I'll have for a holiday this year. Naturally, I don't expect Erica to alter her plans on my account.
I'm sorry, Charles. I'm going to spend that last evening with Mark when he returns from Manchester. He's up there seeing his family.
Evidently, his family means more to him than yours does to you.
Charles, leave her alone. In a few days, you're going to be rid of Mark Reiser. Isn't that enough? Surely you don't want to get rid of Erica, too.
He's already gotten rid of me.
Eric, don't say such a thing.
I happened to meet Mr. Podmore last Friday. Interviewed him for the paper. He did not tell you the name of any Jewish firm who has been selling goods above price ceiling. In fact, he told you he didn't know of any such firm. You lied to me, Charles.
Eric.
And now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going down to the office.
Eric, please. Well, Miriam, I'd like to know what you think you've accomplished by all this.
So far as you're concerned, Charles, not a thing. You're like a train that's gotten on the wrong track.
Miriam.
You can't stop, you have to keep going, and very soon you're going to crash into something and somebody's going to get hurt. I don't want it to be Erica.
I didn't mean to quarrel with Eric today. We just had a cable. Your brother...
Tony, what happened to him?
His plane was shot down. Tony's missing in action.
Erica, you're back.
Hello, Miss Gray.
Hello, Bubbles. What's wrong?
I've just come from the managing editor. I've resigned.
Oh, congratulations.
Shut up, Bubbles.
Erica, are you serious?
Yes.
I'll be leaving immediately.
But why?
Oh, I've got to get away. I'm going to join the Women's Army Corps. You'll get my job, Sylvia.
I don't want your job unless it means holding it for you till after the war.
No. I don't expect I'll want it back again.
Here's a package came for you this morning.
Looks like flowers.
Mark must have sent them before he left the camp.
He's gone already. Bubbles, answer that phone.
Oh, sure, sure. Social Department, Mr. Canning speaking.
Mark left on the morning train.
Oh, aren't they beautiful? Red carnations.
My darling, I'm sending these flowers from the railroad station. I wanted to call you, but couldn't stand the sweet sound of your voice again. Keep that last night open for me. We'll have dinner.
Miss Drake, it's your sister on the phone.
Thank you, Bubbles. Yes, Miriam. Tony? Missing? Oh, no.
Bubbles, get some water. She fainted. Darling, is there anything you want?
No, nothing, thanks.
I haven't eaten all day.
Hadn't you better run for that?
Oh, Mary will get it downstairs.
Might be your major.
He's working at the barracks tonight. Are you feeling better?
Oh, much. I'm just exhausted.
If the doctor says you must rest, stay in bed for several more days.
What time is it?
Finish. Charles should be coming home for dinner.
Erica, I'm calling for you.
I'll take it for her.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello? Yes? No, no, this is Miriam Drake. You want my sister. Dr. Reiser.
Mark's brother. Let me talk to him.
Erica hasn't been well for several days.
Oh, give me that phone.
Hold on, Dr. Reiser. Really, Erica, you shouldn't.
Is this you, David?
Yes.
You're here in Montreal? No. No. Mark's gone up to visit your family. Yes. He's being sent overseas. Of course I'll see you. As a matter of fact, I've got to see you. Tonight? Yes. Why not pick me up here and take me out to dinner?
Erica, you can't.
About 7 o'clock? Fine. I'll be ready.
I'm calling for Miss Drake, Miss Erica Drake.
You're Dr. Reiser?
That's right.
Come in, please.
Thank you.
I'll tell Miss Erica you're here. Make yourself comfortable. That's the library to get away the nurse.
Oh, this is fine, right here. Thank you.
Mr. Reiser?
Yes?
I'm Erica's father.
Oh, how do you do, sir?
We finally meet. I do hope you don't feel too unkindly towards me.
Unkindly? Well, I don't...
A good many very harsh words have been said.
Oh, I think you've got me mixed up with my brother. I'm David Reiser, not Mark.
Oh, I heard you tell the maid that your name was Reiser, so I thought... I'm sorry to say that I've never met your brother. Cigarette?
No, thank you.
Well, how about a drink?
I expect I'd better wait until dinner. You see, I'm taking your daughter out somewhere.
Oh, you don't live in Montreal?
No, I'm from up in Manchester. I came down for a clinic.
Then you're a doctor?
General practitioner.
Good. Will you be seeing your brother?
Well, I expect so. Erica told me over the phone that Mark's up with the family. I'm taking the night train, so I'll probably see him tomorrow.
I wish you'd tell him something from me.
Well, I'd be glad to.
You see, my daughter won't even speak to me. I wish you'd tell your brother that I'd like a chance to see him when he gets back to Montreal. I'd like to talk to him.
I'll tell Ma.
You can say it. You did not mention that you see me. Good night, Dr. Reiser.
I won't say a word.
David.
Hello there.
David. Dr. David. Oh, there was never anyone who needed you as much as I need you tonight.
Charles received a cable saying that Tony was missing. He's completely changed.
Well, that's understandable. He's feeling very guilty. As a result, his opposition to you and Mark has collapsed. You love my brother, don't you?
Yes, I do. Very much.
He's been writing me about you all summer. In every letter.
I love Mark, but I've lost him.
What do you mean, lost him?
Your family will never approve our marriage. They'll be like Charles. Mark wanted to see you. He needed to talk to you, and you aren't there.
Well, I'll be there tomorrow.
But that may be too late. Your parents will have already put an end to the whole thing. I don't know how much more Mark can take. I know I've reached the end.
You must get rest. Plenty of sleep.
I'm going to enlist. First thing tomorrow.
Well, better wait a few weeks. They'll never take you unless you put on a bit of weight. You haven't touched your food.
I have no appetite.
What shall I tell Mark when I see him?
Only one thing.
Yes?
Tell him. Tell him that I love him with all my heart.
I'll tell him that.
Oh, no. Maybe you shouldn't tell him anything. Don't even tell him that you've seen me.
Mark, where are you?
David, is that you?
Yes, I just got off the train. Mother said you'd started out on the road to the hills, so I followed.
Oh, David.
Good to see you. Shall we talk?
Yes, I can always talk better that way. I've been worrying that you wouldn't get here before my leave was up. Oh, I wish I'd known you were going to be in Montreal. I'd have had you meet Erica.
Mark, do you want to marry Erica? Because if you do, I'm on your side.
You're going to back me up?
Well, Erica, anyhow. I don't know about you yet. I want to hear what you have to say for yourself. I gather that your chief objection to her is the fact that she's not Jewish.
There aren't any other objections.
I didn't realize that you were so particular.
Oh, it's not me, you know that. It's what would happen to her. What's already happened to her since I've known her. You don't know what knowing me has done to her.
I can imagine.
She's getting it from every side because of me. Her father, her friends.
And you think that you can walk out on her, go off to the war and leave her, and she'll go back to her old life again? You don't really think that, do you, Mark?
She'll be better off with me, Don.
Isn't that something that she's entitled to decide for herself?
Of course.
Let's sit down here for a bit,
All right.
Tell me, is there anyone dead set against your marrying Erica or her marrying you who happens to know both of you?
No.
Well, is there anyone who knows both of you who's in favor of it?
One person. Her sister Miriam.
Good. That makes two of us.
What do you mean?
I spent last evening in Montreal with Erica.
How did you meet her?
I just opened the phone book and picked the Drake with the fanciest address. We had dinner together. I even met her father.
What?
Yes, he thought I was you at first. When he found out I wasn't, he asked me to give you a message. He said he was sorry he'd never met you.
He said that? But why? Why after all this time? I don't get it.
I gathered from Erica that her father's opposition had collapsed. You see, his son is missing in action.
Tony? Really?
I don't suppose Drake feels much like going on with it now. Having lost the son, he probably saw that he couldn't face losing Erica as well. He looked pretty well shot when I saw him. Last thing he said was to tell you he hoped he'd have a chance to meet you when you came back to Montreal on Wednesday.
Let's stay after tomorrow.
Mark, if you think that God is going to hand you another Erica Drake on a platter, only tailored to measure according to a lot of cockeyed theories about Jews and Gentiles, you're going to find that you're wrong. There isn't going to be another one.
I know that.
Mark, you're a queer mixture of a weak character and a strong one. I've always thought that you'd be up against something like this sooner or later so that you'd be forced to make a choice. And if you made the right one, then you'd be somebody. And if you didn't, that afterward you just let yourself go and say what's the use and subside into complete mediocrity. If you allow a lot of other people to talk you out of doing something that you know is right for you and talk you into letting yourself and someone else down as badly as this, then you'll never amount to half the human being you ought to. Maybe it's a question of sticking to your principles, I don't know. But you don't think as they do. If you did, you might be able to get away with it, but you don't. And neither does Erica. The difference between you is that she seems to realize it and you don't.
I do realize it.
Yes, I guess you do. But I've got a couple of more things to say before I hand you a surprise.
Huh?
Mark, people have been trying to type us ever since we were born. I know it hasn't been easy. It's been tough as can be a lot of times, but we've stuck it out this far, and neither of us can afford to give up now. You can't quit, Mark. You can't quit.
No.
Now, here's the bit of news I've been saving. A wire came for you from Ottawa early this afternoon when you were out. I just came in from the train and answered the phone.
What was it?
Something pretty exciting. You've got an extra week's leave.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. There ought to be a copy of it at the house by now.
They told me it might possibly happen, but it seems so unlikely.
So what are you going to do?
You know very well, you fox. You old red fox, David. Now I've got to send a telegram.
Good for you. Let's get back. I'll talk to Mother and Dad.
Sleep tonight?
Hope so. Why don't you get to bed yourself?
After a while.
There wasn't any more news about Tony.
No.
Do you suppose there's a chance?
I doubt it.
Where did it happen?
The Mediterranean. He'd been transferred to Malta.
Charles Drake's children have really done rather badly, haven't they?
Speak for yourself, darling.
I am speaking for myself.
Yes? Come in.
Here's a wire for you. Thank you, Mary.
Erica, maybe I'd better read it.
No. It's from Mark. Have talked with David. Stop. Have been given extra week's leave. Stop. Returning to Montreal on morning train.
Please, you must never cry anymore, never.
I promise.
I came back a day earlier because I... Erica, will you marry me?
You mean now, today, or afterwards?
I mean now, this minute, as soon as we can get a license.
Oh, Mark.
If you like, you can think about it for about 10 minutes.
I don't have to think about it except that I can't quite believe it. Mark, are you sure?
I'm quite sure.
Oh, Mark.
My darling, my love. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.